So good to see half of your face. Many of you I haven't seen over 1 year. It's time just flies. And because of this pandemic, we haven't been able to meet yet. I'm sure that many of you are still worshiping together as a community via internet. And so we're grateful for the technology and thankful for it. Tonight, we are going to this worship service is Korean worship service that we usually meet, but tonight we are going to be speaking solely to you as we are confirming of your faith. 오늘 저녁 금요 예배는 영어로 진행하도록 하겠습니다. 우리 교육부의 중고등부 학생들, 고등부 학생들이죠, 거의 이제 고등부 학생들이 입교식을 거행하는데 부모님들과 함께 이 자리에 나왔습니다. 오늘 11 학생이 입교를 받는데 좀 영어가 좀 안 되셔도 함께 예배 드렸으면 좋겠습니다. The word of God comes to us from 2 Corinthians 5:17. I will read it to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. We are living in a very critical time where not only because of pandemic, but because of many things that are going on around us. Many people are holding up signs saying that do not hate Asians, you know, do not discriminate us because we are human beings as well. We remember very well what happened in Atlanta. There was a shooting and there were Asians who were killed and many who were Koreans, Korean-Americans as well. And what is even more shocking is that the person who committed this crime, Robert Long, he is a churchgoer. He was baptized 3 years ago, and he happened to be PK. His father's a youth pastor, and he grew up in church. He even professed faith in Jesus Christ. Yet, he committed horrendous crime. And we wonder why. We ask why. Why does someone take away other people's lives when they say that they love Jesus? What happened to his life? Some people just, you know, say, blame the devil. Devil made me do it. I didn't feel good. I wasn't having a good day. But that's not an excuse. Because the basis, the fundamental of what it means to be a Christian is to have changes in the value, changes in the character. Once we profess the name of Jesus Christ, we no longer live as our old self, as sinners, but we live as a redeemed person, as a saint, as a child of God. We hold on to the new values and new principles that we no longer hold on to the past. Sorry for starting such a in a heavy note. Kind of lighten up a little bit. I like before and after pictures. You know, whenever I see before and after pictures, I look at before, it was like so big, so obese. And after picture, you're so muscular. Before picture, it was a rundown, kind of a junk. Yet after picture, it's something beautiful. I have a few pictures. Look at this one, first one. Can we put up first one? Well, look at this city. It was a, you know, kind of pollution, highway, congested, and all these things. And then it turned into a park. Before and after picture. How about next one? How about this one? Well, I don't like this one too much. Before they were young and now they're old. But yet it shows kind of character and how they aged gracefully. How about the next one? Look at this one. Asian family, you know, and I like the lower one, how father and son was kind of, you know, chunky, yet underneath they're kind of ripped. How about the last one? The house that was run down and fixed up before and after. We like these pictures because we like the after ones because they're fixed up. They look better. They look kind of fit. And we kind of long to have before and after. You see, that's what Christian life is all about. Before you knew Christ and after you met Christ, it ought to be different. It ought to change. If it's same, something's wrong. In fact, maybe you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. History is divided from the birth of Jesus Christ to B.C. and A.D., before Christ and Anno Domini, meaning the year of the Lord. Jesus Christ is a point It's a point where the history is divided into before and after. Likewise, when we become Christians, our life has a point with Christ in it. And from that point, I have life before I met Christ and after Christ. It has to be different. The Bible says so. That's what it says in today's scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Some translation says it's a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. And I ask you a question. Now that you are confirming your faith in Jesus Christ, how will it change? What will be different? What kind of values will you hold? Will you be living same life that you did before you professed your faith in Jesus Christ? Well, you got to know a few things. First of all, you need to know that when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, you are being assured of his love. That's the first thing you need to get through your head and through your mind, that you are loved by God. Not too many people are impressed by that. Well, you know, so God loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But that's a, you know, amazing statement, that God who created heavens and the earth, he loves me. If the president of this country or someone that you really respect, look up to, says, I love you and you and I are like this, and I would say, wow, that's great, that's wonderful. But God says he loves me. You no longer have to prove yourself to be worthy. God loves you just the way you are. And I like that. If God waited until I got my act together, and God, if God waited for me to just put my life all together and I know where I'm going and I know what I want to be, until then God is not going to love me, then I'm in trouble. Because oftentimes I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing, and a lot of times that I just disappoint myself, and imagine how much disappointment I would bring to God. Yet, God loves me, imperfect me. You see, I protect what I love. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my people. So sometimes I have to sacrifice. Sometimes I have to risk what I have in order to protect what is precious to me. That's what God does. When God says, I love my children, I love you, God is willing to protect each one of us. Psalm 56, verse 9 says this, then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this, I will know that God is for me. Psalmist is saying, my enemies will turn back. They're coming to attack me, my enemies. But when they discover that I am calling my God for help, they're going to turn around and run back because they know the power of my God. We have a good back. We have God who is watching my back. So we need to really kind of, you know, take pride that someone who created heavens and the earth and all that is in it, he loves me. And that love is available to those who profess their faith in Jesus Christ. And we also have an assurance of belonging to the family of God. I don't have to pretend to fit in. You see, all of us, we try so hard to fit in. When I first came to the United States, I was 15 years old. I went to ninth grade. And, I think I shared this story before. Most of my school friends, well, the entire school was, the school was inside a military base. And 90% of students were military kids. And something about military kids is that they're very athletic. Very athletic. Even the girls are very athletic. I wasn't very athletic. I was kind of chunky. Not as chunky as now, but, you know, I was pretty kind of, you know, heavy side. And I wasn't very good in sports. I like sports, but I wasn't very good at it. So whenever PE time came, I hated it. Because no matter how much I wanted to belong to a team, they wouldn't pick me. Oftentimes, you know, we would kind of have PE time. We would divide into teams, and then, you know, we have soccer, we have basketball, all these things, and they pick teams. And they pick captain first, and the captain gets to pick their teammates. I got picked after girls. After all the girls were picked, I was usually the last one, and I hated that time. You know, I was the only one left, and nobody wants to take me, and so whoever has less, I just end up there. I hated it, except when Carlos Duncan, he was a friend of mine. When he becomes a captain, guess who he picks first? Me. He picked me first. Not because I'm good, but because I'm his friend. Because he likes me and I like him. So he picked me first. When other people pick me as their teammate or I end up in their team, I just, when I'm playing soccer, ball comes and I just, okay, take it. I don't want to, you know, I just, not even half-hearted. I don't even want to play. I don't want to even be there and I don't participate. But when Carlos becomes my captain, do you know what I do? I give my 200%. I put my life in line. You know, once we were playing basketball, Carlos Duncan, he's African-American. He has a huge Afro head. Back then, this was the in thing. In there, he has everything. He has, you know, all the school materials in his head. When we're playing basketball, because he had a big kind of hairdo, you know, that got on the way. And so whenever, you know, he would kind of want to shoot, he would like pass it to me and I'm supposed to shoot. And he passed it to me. And then all these guys were kind of attacking me. And I began to kind of, you know, with my body, you know, I wasn't small. I was like bumping into people and I ended up hitting somebody and knocking him down. And I did that for Carlos. For any other person, I wouldn't do it. I liked being his friend. And that's what Jesus does with us. He calls us by our name. And he calls me his own. Isaiah says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." That's what God says. You are mine. You belong to me. We are together. So our worthiness comes belonging with God. You don't have to fit in. You don't have to, you know, try so hard to fit in. You know, I was trying so hard to fit in. I was taking German class in ninth grade because I wasn't even speaking English that well. I was in ESL class, but someone told me that you need second language, so you need to kind of take foreign language, so I ended up taking German. And in that German class, there was a friend of mine who walked kind of funny. He walked kind of, you know, limping a little bit, and I thought that was so cool. And I felt like in order to fit in, I had to walk like him. And I was walking like a lame person, and I came home, and my dad was saying, "What's wrong with your leg?" I said, "Oh, you know, nothing. Why are you walking like that?" I couldn't say I wanted to fit in. But that's how much we try to fit in. But you don't have to with God. Because God accepts you. That's just the way you are. And you already fit into his plan of salvation. You fit into the plan of his love. So you don't have to try so hard. You belong to the family of God. 1 John 3:1 says this, "How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." We are children of God. My kids don't have to pretend to belong in a family. Because they're my children, they belong already. They're not going to lose that status just because they are not goody-two-shoe, because they're disobedient at times, because they do what they want to do, and you know, they break dad's heart. And even though at times they misbehave, they're not going to lose their status of being my child. That's what God is saying. I love you so much, and I call you, you're my child, so you're not going to lose that. So whenever you feel like you don't have, you know, confidence in fitting in, just remember who your daddy is. Depending on your answer in the world, if your dad is powerful, then you're going to go out and say, you know, "My dad can beat your dad up anytime." But if you don't have any trust in your dad, you go, "Oh, I don't know, my dad's going to get beat up and I can't rely on my dad." Our Heavenly Father is trustworthy. He is powerful, almighty. You can trust him. Now, as children of God, what are we to do? Well, a few things. You know what happened when disciples and the people who followed Jesus gathered them by themselves after Jesus went up to heaven? They got together and they were praying for Holy Spirit. They were praying for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came to them. You know what was the first thing that happened? They began to speak in tongues. And what is speaking in tongues? It's speaking a foreign language. That's what it meant in Acts chapter 2. They began to speak the language of God. That's what happened. You know what happened? What ought to happen when we believe in Jesus Christ? First thing that changes is our speech. What we come out of our mouth is something that is precious. something that is encouraging. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, this is what it says. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a time at home, read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32. And this is what it says. You are taught with regards with your former ways of life, that before you knew Christ, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And then verse 29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Your speech changes. It has to change. You cannot be cussing every other word and say that I am having a wholesome talk. It's not. We need to speak the language that edifies, that glorifies, that really builds other people up instead of cutting each other down. That is not the language that God's children speaks. I do not allow my children to cuss or to say negative things about each other, because that is not allowed in my household. Because Father, Jimba Father, will not allow that to happen in our household. That's what Heavenly Father desires, his children to speak the language of heaven, to speak the language of God. And that encourages, empowers, and truly beautifies each other. That's what we ought to be doing. And here it says to really have make new in the attitude of your minds. Your mind has to be mind of Jesus Christ. In Philippians it says, for us to have a mind of Jesus Christ, what is that mind? It's a serving. Instead of always wanting to go up, always wanting to be served, the greatness happens when you're willing to go down. That's the secret of kingdom of God. Jesus says to be servant of all. The world says you need to be on top and be served. But Jesus says, no, you ought to be servant. In order for you to be great in the kingdom of God, you need to serve. That's what it calls for us to do. At home, I feel like I'm a very good servant because I do dishes. I do the laundry, but my wife kind of prohibited me doing laundry because she said it doesn't, you know, dirty clothes comes out dirty, so told me not to do it. But as I'm serving, I'm wondering, why am I serving? I'm the father. I'm the breadwinner. I'm the head of a household. I should be served. And I realize that I should continue to serve because of this. My eldest, he got married about 2 years ago. And as he got married, our daughter-in-law, they have now one kid, second one on the way. I asked the daughter-in-law, you know, so how is Josh Bob? How is he doing? And he says, he's really good. He helps me so much. And I'm looking at him, you know, where did he learn to serve like that? And he saw dad doing it. So us as the children of God, Jesus came to us as a servant, not someone to be served. Before he went to the cross, he gathered the disciples, and the last thing, you know, usually when someone is to die and they speak the will, you know, last thing that they say is something very important, isn't it? You know, in my deathbed, I'm not going to say, oh, I got to go bathroom. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say something significant, something that is very important. Jesus, before he went to the cross, gathered the disciples, and he began to wash their feet. And this is what he told them. As I wash your feet, you ought to do the same with each other. As I'm serving you, you ought to serve each other. Not only do we change in our speech, but in our mind, we change. And the change comes by serving one another. Boy, you know, imagine what kind of youth ministry we would have. Imagine what kind of household you would have when each member of a household is willing to serve each other. Instead of wanting to use somebody for you to be used by other people. That is powerful. And verse 31 says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. All the negative stuff, get rid of it. See, that's what we need to do. Kind of begin to kind of get rid of stuff that is not very pleasing to God. A lot of times we kind of put that aside until we need it. Get rid of it. And then it says, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness is something that you need to have under your belt all the time. Because without that, you are not going to have peace in your life. Without forgiveness, you're always going to have issues, and you're always going to have a kind of anger. So forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven you. That's what we ought to do. Friends, you are going to be confirmed of your faith today. That's an important step. When you're a baby, you're baptized. And some of you say, oh, I want to be baptized. I wish my parents didn't baptize me then so I could be baptized now. Whether you're baptized or whether you're confirmed, if your life doesn't change, you just got wet back then. That's it. Life has to be transformed. When we are in Christ, we are no longer the same. We are new creation. The old has to be gone for new to come in. God loves new stuff. You know why we like new things? New home, new car, new computer. You know why we like new things? Because we resemble God. God created in His image, and we have a lot of characters of God. And God loves new things. That's why He gives us new day, every day. It's never old. Today is a brand new day. Never in history we had new day. Today is a new day. The air that we breathe, the new air, every day. Likewise, God wants to see new you. As you're growing older, as you're going into the world, you're going to have a lot of temptations. You're going to have a lot of, trials coming your way. Only way for you to overcome it is to be a real child of God, not fake child or pretend child, but real child of God. The Bible says that God adopted each one of us. We are adopted children of God. And one thing that we need to get through our head is this: simply because you're adopted, that doesn't mean that you're less. In our home, we have adopted children. But they are just as precious and they're just as important as children who were born from my wife. So you are children of God. Do not forget your status. Do not forget that God wants to see you being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for giving us this time that we can come. It's been too long that we came into the sanctuary, but as we come in here, we come in not only to worship, but to really profess our faith in Jesus Christ publicly, that I am no longer a child of the world, but I'm the child of God. Lord, as we make this proclamation, may heaven rejoice. May our community celebrate together with brothers and sisters who come professing their faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.